this morning to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4. As you're finding out, one other announcement. Wednesday, April 4th, we're going to, on Pursuit Nights, we're going to be doing this great series by Priscilla Schreier called The Armor of God. Such a great Bible study. Our different women's groups have been doing this Bible study for a number of years, and I've always heard so many great things about it. I've just thought, well, I want to do it, okay? So we're going to do it for everybody, starting Wednesday night, April 4th. And we'll have books available that you can purchase. There'll also be study guides available that will be free. I'm very excited about this. It's going to be a great, great series for us to do at Pursuit Service on Wednesday nights beginning April 4th. Now, before I get into the main thing that I want to share this morning, I want to get the wheels turning in your mind by asking you a question. And the question is this: is there a reason that when God created the universe, is there a reason that he spoke the universe into existence? Is there a reason that God used words when he created the universe? Genesis 1:3 says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Genesis 1:6 says, God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate the water from the water. Genesis 1:9 says, the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry land appear. So every single day of creation begins with that. God spoke the universe into existence. Is there a reason God did it that way? Because he's God. He could have done it any way he wanted to. I mean, God could have just thought it into existence, right? He could have given written instructions to the angels. There's a lot of ways God created the universe. Is there a reason that God spoke the universe into existence? Now, I don't know this for a fact, but here's what I believe. I believe God used words to speak the universe into existence because God wanted to show us the power of spoken words. There is power in the things that we speak out. Great power. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to be misunderstood today. I'm not God. You're not God. None of us in this room has the power to speak a universe into existence, all right? And if you try, and I see you, I will be the one calling a therapist, and I will drop you off at the front door, okay? So, you don't have the power and the authority to create a universe, but make no mistake about it, your words have a lot of power. Your words do have power to create. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 21 says this: the tongue has the power of life and death. The tongue has the power of life and death. So words have the power to create, and words have the power to destroy. James said it this way in the book of James. James wrote that the tongue is like the rudder of a great ship. So words change the course. Words give direction. So much is determined by our words. And so here's where I want to go. There's a lot we could say about words, but here's where I want to go today. Words create atmosphere and culture. Words create an atmosphere. Words create a culture. Think about the impact of our words, the emotional impact of our words. You know, there's just certain people that whenever they're around, you kind of just brace yourself, right? Because you know sooner or later, they're going to say something that hurts somebody's feelings, right? On the other hand, hopefully you know people that are just the opposite of that. You love it when they're around because they speak words of life and speak words of encouragement, and your faith is built up when you're around them. There's an emotional impact with the words that we speak. And then another thing I would say is that there's a lasting impact from our words. Words have a lasting impact. How many of you can remember something hurtful that someone said to you 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago, right? On the other hand, I can think of many times in my life that people have spoken life and encouragement, and all these years later, I can still remember the exact circumstance and the exact words that they spoke into my life that just kind of got me over the hump and propelled me to the next thing. Words have an emotional impact, but they also have a lasting impact. And then here's one maybe you've never thought of before, but our words also have a spiritual impact. They have a spiritual impact. In other words, things change in the spirit realm with our words. Listen to what Jesus said. This is pretty amazing. Matthew 19 and verse 16. This is Jesus. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus was letting his followers know that there was going to be power and authority in the spirit realm according to what they had spoken. So he's letting them know there's power, there's authority in what you speak. So our words are important. Every Sunday at the end of the service, when I speak that blessing from Numbers chapter 6 over our church, I don't do that because I think it's a cool way to end church. I do it because I know that there is spiritual power and authority that's released because they're not my words, it's the word of God that I'm speaking over you. There's power and authority in the spoken words. So words create atmosphere and culture. Think about it. Every office, every work environment has a particular atmosphere and culture. And that atmosphere in that work environment is by and large determined by the kind of words that are spoken, right? Those spoken words will dictate the culture and atmosphere of that entire business. Some of you, you're blessed to work in a place that's uplifting and encouraging. And I know some of you, on the other hand, every single day you go to work, you just feel like when you get home, you just feel so drugged down because of the atmosphere and the culture that's created in your workplace by people's words. There's incredible power in that, in our words. A sports team has a culture about it, and that culture is going to be determined by the words that are spoken in the locker room, at practice, during games. And here's where we're going this morning. Your home has an atmosphere. And the atmosphere in your home is going to be determined by and large by what is spoken in your home. And church, here we go. We're in this series on the church. Every church has an atmosphere. Every church has a culture, and that atmosphere and culture is going to be determined by our words, right? It's going to be determined by the things we're speaking around here in the family of God. So, so important. Okay, that was the introduction. Now for the message. Keeping all of that in mind, Ephesians 4, this is probably why Paul was inspired to write these words to the Ephesian church. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of, love the very strong language there, out of here. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Wow. Paul was letting these Ephesian Christ followers know that there is a language that is fitting for the family of God. That if the church is going to be healthy and whole and strong, there is a language that must be spoken in that church family. So he starts off talking about what's not fitting, right? What's not fitting? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. The Greek word that Paul uses here is the word sapros. And sapros means unhealthy or rotten or decaying. So if you saw a rotten apple, say sapros, right? If you went to the local landfill and you were smelling all that stuff, sapros, unhealthy, garbage mouth, right? Death, decay. So what does Paul specifically have in mind when he says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth? Probably the first thing that comes to most of our minds is profanity. Profanity. And I just want to challenge you, encourage you today as a Christ follower, don't use profanity. Just don't do it. First of all, it doesn't make you sound very smart. Secondly, it's disrespectful. It's disrespectful to the people hearing you, and it's disrespectful to yourself. It's disrespectful to your spouse. And then thirdly, it's just not a good testimony. If you're inviting people to church and telling people that you're a follower of Jesus and then you're using profane language, it's not a good testimony at all. So certainly Paul is talking about profanity here, but he's talking about much more than profanity because go down to verse 31, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. All right? So, and I would add to that list from other scriptures, deception, okay? That's unwholesome talk, deception, gossip, backbiting, negativity, slander, criticism, cynicism. All of these things, they're unwholesome. Because here's the deal. I've known people over the years that would never use a swear word, but they think nothing about totally shredding someone behind their back. Right? And those things just, they don't go together. Any unwholesome talk. Because when these things are being spoken, it creates a very unhealthy, unwholesome culture. So, let's move on now to what's wholesome, all right? Enough with all that garbage. What should we speak? What is fitting for us to speak? What is fitting? Verse 29, here's what's fitting. What is helpful for building others up according to their needs. That's what's fitting in the family of God. What is helpful for building others up according to their needs. So let me ask you a question this morning. When do people need to be built up? All the time, right? All the time. People need to be built up when they're discouraged, when they've gone through, you know, a trial, a difficulty in their life, the challenges of life when something's come up and hit them, they've maybe lost a job. And here's the deal, in church, you just never know what people have been through the previous week, right? You don't know. So we should always be speaking words that build people up. If nothing else, sometimes people are just tired. They're just weary. And they need to have someone speak into their life because life sometimes just smacks you in the face, doesn't it? I've never played soccer much, but I don't think that's how you're supposed to play soccer. Now, how many of you, after a day of work sometimes, maybe you don't look like that, but you feel like that, right? Or something's happening, you just feel like, whoa. Yeah. And we just never know. So As a church family, we need to speak things that build each other up. So let's look at a few specific scriptures that teach us this language. What is the language of the kingdom? What is the language that is fitting for the family of God? And I'm going to give you a few things and a list and scriptures that go with each one of them. The language of the kingdom. The language of the kingdom. First of all, it's a language of encouragement. The language of the kingdom is a language of encouragement. Hebrews 3:13. There's a lot of verses that speak of encouragement in the New Testament. I love this one because there's so much in this. Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So encourage one another how often? Wouldn't it be a great daily goal for each one of us to just say, every day of my life, I want to encourage somebody. Encourage one another daily. And then he says, as long as it's called today. In other words, don't put it off till tomorrow. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Do it now. Don't say, I'll get around to that later. It's one of those things that we just need to constantly be doing, encouraging one another. It's such a great word, by the way. This word encourage in the English is so easy to break down. You see the word courage in there, right? So to encourage means to put courage into something. Put courage into somebody. And the flip side of the coin, to discourage means to take the courage out of them. All right? So it's putting the wind in their sails, right? Come on. Encouraging. So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Because when people are down, the devil seizes that as an opportunity to get into their life and drag them down even further. So as the family of God, supporting one another in the Lord, we speak encouragement where the devil wants to come and bring destruction. Amen? Be encouragers. Secondly, the language of the kingdom is a language of motivation. Motivation. Hebrews 10 and verse 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Okay? This is us saying, come on, don't be stuck. Let's move forward here. What's God got for you next? Let's don't stay where you're at. Let's spur one another on. Let's encourage one another. One of the great stories of a great encourager of faith and motivator is a guy by the name of Caleb. And you remember Caleb from the book of Numbers. The Israelites were right on the border of going into the promised land. Moses has 12 of them go in and spy out the land. 10 of them come back and say, we can't do it. There's no way. We can't make it. They're too big. We're too little. They're warriors. We're not. Just all kinds of discouragement. And then Caleb steps up and he says, we should go and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. I love that. We can do it. Now, unfortunately, in this case, they didn't listen to Caleb. And they wound up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. But in the body of Christ, in the church, we need to be people who speak this language of motivation, encouraging one another to move forward. And then thirdly, it's a language of truth and love. Truth and love. Ephesians 4:15. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. How many of you want to grow up? Okay? We'll pray for the other two-thirds of you. Yeah. We want to keep growing up as Christians. And here's the deal. In order to keep growing as a Christian, once in a while, you got to be challenged by the truth. You got to be challenged by the truth. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Right? You'll know the truth and the truth. So we need to be able to speak truth in love. Now, this doesn't mean we nitpick one another. Speaking the truth to someone is not, I really hate your haircut, all right? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the truth of God's word. But here's the deal. We've become such a hypersensitive culture. It's like none of us feel like we dare say anything to anybody that might disagree with the way they're doing things, right? This is the kind of culture, and unfortunately, that same culture has crept into the church. The problem with that is you're never going to grow that way. If you don't accept the truth of God's word, even when it hurts, or a brother or sister or your pastor, even when it hurts, you're never going to grow. So I'm going to just start something just like in our church this morning. Confession time for me. I'm going to just be totally honest. I'm just going to put it out there. I'll be the first one to go here, okay? Just to set the tone for our entire church, okay? I'll be the first one to make this confession, okay? Ready? Okay. I am not awesome all the time. I know. I just admit it. Okay, how many of you would just like let down your guard this morning? And just raise your hand if you would say, yeah, me too, I'm not awesome all the time either. Everybody? All right, look around. All right. Okay. So we all agree that none of us is awesome all the time. Now, I love it in church when, oh, you're so awesome, you're so great, you're so fantastic. I love that. It's great. But come on, let's get real. We're not all awesome all the time. Right? Once in a while, you just need a truth bomb to like, okay, yeah, I need to like stop doing that. Or I need to start doing that. We need to speak the truth of God's word if we're going to grow and get stronger in the Lord. Amen? So can we agree here at Bethel Church that we're going to stop with the hypersensitivity and we're going to have some trusted friends in our lives that can speak truth into our lives? Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Because here's what happens so often, even as a pastor, I've had it happen so many times, just with as much love and gentleness and tenderness, I've tried to bring correction to people knowing that they're just on the path of destruction. And you know what they do? Oh, thank you, Pastor Tim. That was just so awesome. I just needed to hear that so much. No, they join another church. That's what they do. You think I'm joking? I'm not. Because we've got this culture where nobody wants to know the truth. And people, there are whole churches that won't even preach the entire Bible anymore because the pastor knows nobody in their church really wants the whole truth. But if we don't know the truth, we're never going to be free. Amen? We're never going to grow. We're never going to mature as believers. We need the truth. It's got to be spoken in love, but we need the truth. It's a language of truth and love, language of the kingdom. Next, the language of the kingdom is a language of peace, consideration, and gentleness. Here's a lot, because there's a lot just in this one verse. Titus 3:2, slander no one, be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. That's a tall order, amen? Jesus said this, he said, blessed are the peacemakers. We need to be peacemakers. We need to speak peace. We need, and in order to be a peacemaker, guys, sometimes you have to just decide that it's not so important for you to be right. That's not the main goal. The main goal in church is not to be right about everything all the time. The goal is unity and love. Amen? It's unity and love. Like I like to tell young husbands, look, you can either be right or you can be happy. It's your choice. Yeah. We just feel this need sometimes to always prove that we're right, and we do that at the expense of relationships. Be peaceable, considerate, and always gentle toward everyone. And then finally, this language of the kingdom is a language of comfort. Speaking comfort into one another's lives. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion and the God of all comfort. By the way, isn't that a beautiful description of God? He's the Father of compassion. He's a God of comfort. He really is. Who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Church should be a refuge. It should be a hospital where people find healing. We speak words of comfort to one another and grace, God's love. It's a language of comfort. Now, I want to say one more thing about the language of the kingdom, and that is this. The language of the kingdom is the language of the Holy Spirit. It's the language of the Holy Spirit. I am so thankful for God's Holy Spirit, aren't you? I'm so thankful that God didn't just drop a list of things for us to do, a list of commandments, and then say, I'll see you later, good luck. No, God is fully invested in us. He fills us with his Holy Spirit. He empowers us each and every day of our lives. So all of these things, speaking words of encouragement, words of comfort, words of peace, all of these things, none of us gets it right all the time. And even as we're talking about things, how many of you just find yourself going, wow, I come up short, right? I come up short with some of this stuff. I come up short with a lot of it. Okay, all right. Here's the deal. God gives us his Holy Spirit to help us, to help us. And so if we want to have the language of the kingdom coming off our lips, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to spend a lot of time in God's word, because God's word transforms our thinking, which transforms our speaking. We need to spend a lot of time in God's word. We need to spend a lot of time in God's presence, letting the Holy Spirit fill us. So it's the fruit of the Spirit that we're speaking, not the fruit of the flesh that we're speaking, right? And so here's what I want to do. I want to pray for a couple of things this morning. And that's the first thing. I just want us to pray that God would teach us this new language, the language of the kingdom, okay? How many of you this morning want to have your language changed, right? Yeah. So let me pray for you right now, because this is a prayer I know God will answer. If you pray it sincerely, God's going to help you. So, Father, we just come before you right now. And first of all, Lord, we confess to you, God, that we've blown it a lot of times. That we have spoken unwholesome things. God, we confess to you that there are people that we have hurt with our words. There are people that we have wounded, not because of what we said, but because of what we didn't say when we should have said something. And so, Lord, we confess to you. God, I thank you that you're a forgiving God. You're a gracious God. And Lord, it's true that none of us, we can't go back and we can't take back our words. I think every one of us in this room, Lord, if we could, we would, but we can't. But we can do this. With your help, we can decide this morning to start speaking new words, kingdom words, fitting words. So, Lord, we ask, God, for your forgiveness and cleansing, and we ask, God, for a fresh start. Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, you will teach us a new language, language of the kingdom. And this is going to be a language that we speak with our spouse. It's going to be a language that we speak with our children. It's going to be a language that we speak with our friends. It's going to be a language we speak with our church family. God, that we would be speakers of life instead of death, speakers of encouragement, speakers of faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to ask another thing today. How many of you this morning, second thing I want to pray for is maybe you came this morning and you need the encouragement. You need the comfort today. You need the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You need encouragement today. You feel down. You feel defeated. I want you to know God is a God of great encouragement. Great encouragement. So if that's you today, would you raise your hand this morning? I want to just pray for you. Father, right now, God, for every person just saying, I'm so discouraged, I'm downhearted. God, I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would encourage and strengthen and comfort their heart, God, that they would know today, God, that they are not forgotten. God, that you see it, you're with them. Even if they don't feel your presence right now, you have not forsaken them. You have not abandoned them. You have not turned your back on them, that you are walking. Even if they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your word tells us we might walk there, but Lord, that you are going to be right there. You're going to be our comfort, Lord. You're going to walk with us, God, and we are going to come out on the other side. So I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.